Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see you. I hope that you got some tuning in. I hope you've had a good day. Last Sunday in August, it's hard to believe how fast this year has went. Thankful for God's hand of protection upon us as we've went through this year. It's definitely been different, but I'm thankful He's in control. And there's nothing that God can't handle. Nothing that He doesn't have in control. And so as we get to that point, we realize that we might not have the answers, but I'm thankful He does. If you've got a hymn book with you, it's 240, Lily of the Valley. If you would, let's stand. And we've got a hallelujah in here, and I noticed someone had penciled it in here down at the bottom. It's not. It's written in an invisible ink in most hymn books. But down there at the very bottom, the very last stanza or very last line, after we get ready to we're in that start there, and you'll see at the bottom right-hand side, it says, He's the. Well, before we say He's the, we're going to shout out hallelujah. So you shout it out with me loud enough that I can hear you over the YouTube, and we'll get going here. Page 240, let's stand as we sing the Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Jesus, He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow He's my comfort, in trouble He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. Hallelujah! He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrow borne. In temptation He's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now He keeps me by His power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah! He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. On the last, He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do His blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna He my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah! He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for the time that we've had in Your house. And Lord, just to meditate on how good You are to us, how much You take care of us, Lord. You love us in spite of us. And Lord, I'm just thankful to be saved. I'm thankful to be Your child. I pray, Lord, tonight as we look at Your Word, Father, that You would apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, that we would really take note of where we are. And Lord, that we would allow Your Word to examine our hearts and reveal to us any shortcomings that we may have. And Lord, that we would repent of those and turn to You. And Lord, that it would be to Your glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I was going to have us go to the old rugged cross, but I'd like to sing Saved by the Blood, 227. 227, Saved by the Blood. Maybe we'll get that next week, but I think I'll change that up. Saved by the Blood, 227. Boy, I'm thankful to be saved today. Thankful for what God's done, His redeeming grace. I had no part of it. All I did was get to receive it. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. Saved by the Blood, 227.
Saved by the blood of the crucified One, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, join heir with the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. On the third, saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, He spake, and His will it was done. Great price of my pardon, His own precious Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father. All hail to the Son. All hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Amen. I needed that. Let's go ahead. We'll turn over to 27 now. We'll sing the old rugged cross. Page number 27. Amen. I think we've got time here. We can fit it in. It'll be all right. I know the preacher. He's going to preach anyway, so it doesn't matter. So let's sing the old rugged cross. I'd already had it on my heart. I'm thankful for the old rugged cross. I don't treasure it as an emblem. I don't treasure it as an idol. But I'm thankful my Savior died on the old rugged cross for me. He took my cross. He took my sins. And He paid the price. The old rugged cross, page number 27.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross. rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
On the third,
in the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glories forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen, amen. 355. 355, what a friend we have in Jesus. 355. Amen. If you're willing and able, let's stand on this last one, give you a second, stretch your legs, and then we'll get into the preaching. Preach an hour, amen. Say, preacher, is it really going to be an hour? I don't know. It's just going to be preaching. 355.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all your sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms they'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Amen, amen. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Job. Job chapter number 16 tonight. Job 16. Those that are on YouTube have already seen the title, Am I a Friend? Now we know the account of Job, and I definitely went over the high points, or at least the actions of everything that was going on this morning. And Job 16 here, we find Job speaking back to his friends, or so-called friends, and their idea of comfort was not what he considered to be comforting. And nor would you. I guarantee you, you're in that situation that Job was in. You wouldn't find it that comforting either. And so Job 16, I want us to look at verse number 1. When you get there, let's stand. We'll read 5 verses here and we'll get going. Job chapter 16, verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end, or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do if your soul were in my soul's stead. He says, look, if you were walking in my shoes, I could be the same as you are in your shoes. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips shall assuage your grief. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, just how You've met with us, how You've spoke to hearts, and Lord, how You've just helped today. And Lord, I know that we don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm thankful that You're in charge, and Lord, we just trust You for it. Lord, I want to be a friend to others. I find here that Job's testimony of those that came to comfort him wasn't that great of a comfort, but yet Job said, even in his troubles, that he would, if they were in that need, he would be a friend to them and he would comfort them. And Lord, help us tonight to really examine our hearts and ask ourselves, are we really a friend? Am I a friend? And Lord, I just pray, meet with us, speak to hearts, have Your will and way in Jesus' precious name. I ask these things. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We know many times in the Bible, in fact, the word friend is mentioned over 99 times in the Bible. And maybe friend, maybe friends, but God has spoke many times of friendship. Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 20, it says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. In Proverbs 19 and verse 4, it says the same thing, just a little bit different. It says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. I wonder about these friends that had came to Job and were speaking with Job. They were friends while he was in his wealth. They were friends while he had prosperity. They were friends while he had his health. They were friends while there was no problem. And now that there's a problem, it's almost as if their friendship, they believe that they need to find the answer to his problems. And may I tell you that being a friend is much more than finding the answer to the problem. Sometimes it's just listening to the person. And so, Here in the book of Job, we find as God is revealing what's going on and taking place, we look at these friends coming and look on over into chapter number 2 here. Look back at chapter 2 and look at verse number 11. Job chapter 2 and verse 11. In Job chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. And they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great." And you'd say, "Preacher, boy, they came in such a... They were there the moment that they heard, and they had made an arrangement to be able to see him, and they all three went to comfort him, and that was their intent, was to comfort." And I find here that through the way that they comforted, it wasn't really much comfort. They waited those 7 days, and they had said not a word those 7 days. They did nothing those 7 days. And the first one that begins to speak in chapter 3 is Job. But then quickly they begin to try to dissect, and they try to find out what's going on. And you say, "Preacher," because they want to help him. They want to know. They were more concerned with pointing the finger and pointing blame and casting blame. I'd like to give you the definition of friend. Now, this has 9 nouns and 1 verb in the definition. The first definition would be one who is attached to another by affection, one who entertains from another sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection, which lead him to desire his company and to seek to promote his happiness and prosperity opposed to enemy or foe. This would be what we find in Proverbs 17:17, where it tells us that a friend loveth at all times. He wants to see his friend. He doesn't want to hold his friend back. He wants to see him go. He wants to be in that fellowship and that company with his friend. We find the second noun definition would be one not hostile, opposed to an enemy in war. We would say that someone who's not opposed to us would be a friend versus foe. We find as well that one reconciled after enmity, they would be friends because they're no longer enemies. We would say as well an attendant or a companion could be considered as a friend. A favorer, which is someone who favors you, one who is desires to see you prosper, would be a friend. We find as well that it could be a favorite, that it's considered a friend. A term of salutation, in the fact that you would say, "Friend, how'd you get here?" We think many times, even during an invitation, the preacher will say, "Sinner friend." He's giving that salutation. He's giving that title of opening. We find as well that it would be a friend at court. Is one who has sufficient interest to serve another. And then I find the verb is to favor, or we would call it befriend today. So you say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I wonder how many times that we're a friend only in title. Wonder how many times we're only a friend because we're not an enemy. We're not really a close companion. We're a friend in word only. And so I'd ask us tonight to truly ask the question to ourselves, am I a friend? There's 3 different groups of people that I want us to look at, or 3 different people that I want us to look at today and ask ourselves, am I a friend to them? Because each one we should be a friend to. First one that I find is I should be a friend. Am I a friend? A friend to my Savior. Am I a friend to my Savior? Now, there's a professed friendship that's found with our friendship to our Savior. But it's dependent, our friendship to Him is dependent upon our other friendships. Now, I don't want to confuse you with this, but it's really, really hard for someone to be a friend with our enemy and be our friend too. You say, preacher, they can be friends with whoever they want and they're a friend to me. No, that's not how God sees it. In fact, the Bible tells us in James chapter number 4 and verse 4, He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so I find here that if we're going to truly say that we're a friend of God, then we cannot be a friend of this world. I'm not saying that we aren't living in this world. We know that the Bible teaches us that we're to be we have to be in the world. We're right here, but I don't have to be of it. I don't have to be like it, is what it's telling us. I don't have to be a friend of it. I don't have to agree with the wickedness that's acceptable today. Sister Sarah was telling me about the task force, or this task force that the U.S. Marshals had got there, even in the state of Georgia, and it was 40-some children found, if I'm not mistaken. Right around in there, 35, 40 children that had been found within a short amount of time in the state of Georgia and reconciled back to their parents, aging from 1 year old all the way up to 17. Isn't that amazing? Although they've been looked for years, although there's been many that have been missing, isn't it sad to think of the wickedness of this world and what it's going to today, and yet there's many today that yoke up with it and say that that mindset and that acceptance, it sickens me today, that says that, listen, that we're supposed to tolerate the same-sex marriage and we're not supposed to speak out against it. But I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord, still speaks out against it. God still says that that's not the way He's ordained it to be. That's not the way He had designed it to be. And the sin sickness, just the wickedness all around. I was speaking this morning about liars. Oh, I'm thankful that God still says that liars shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The drunkenness of this world, the acceptance of alcohol, the acceptance of drugs today, it's still against the Lord. And so I wonder if we would be considered a friend of God, if He would call us a friend. I'm reminded of James chapter number 2 and verse 23. The Bible says, and the Scripture is fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and that it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What a great recording to be called the friend of God. Now, one of the definitions that I gave you is the fact that anyone who had been bought back or reconciled, who was an enemy, that's no longer an enemy, would be considered a friend. Now, as a child of God, as someone who's been saved, may I tell you, Romans 5 and verse number 10 teaches us that we've been reconciled. It says, for if, when ye were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And so that word reconciled means brought back into friendship. It's brought into a friendship with God. We didn't know what friendship was. Oh, I know many today, and I know that there's the truth about two Facebook and the fact that everyone has their friends, and boy, they're my friends, they're my friends, they're my friends. You can't have 1,000 friends. Not true friends. Not ones that are really loyal to you. You can have some friends that they're just that entitled. You might know them. You might have known someone who they know, and it's passed on down. But if they were to, they'd have to sit and think about it for a minute to know if they really know you. That's not a friend. And there's many that are professed friends. And they're your friend while you're there, but they're not your friend while you're not. And I wonder how many times that we are more of a professed friendship with the Lord than a true friendship. You say, preacher, how do you know? Well, I would find that it would be a proven friendship, not a professed friendship. Job's friends had came and they had proven their friendship to him. He had said here that your most miserable comforters And take your Bibles and turn over to the book of John, chapter number 15. John 15. You see, professed friendship depends upon our friendship with others, our other friendships in our life. But proven friendship depends upon our actions. In John chapter number 15, I want you to look at verse number 12. In John 15, look at verse number 12. In John chapter number 15 and verse number 12. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Notice verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Are you a friend of Jesus? We just sang two songs. "I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me." But I wonder if we're a friend to Him. Oh, He's a friend. And so I look at this and I find this proven friendship. It depends upon our actions. God proved His love to us, didn't He not? He proved His friendship to us in that He gave His only begotten Son. We know in Romans 5 and verse number 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so He proved that love. And Jesus proved His love. He just told us there in John chapter 15 and verse 13, "No greater love hath a man than a friend lay down his life." No greater love will we ever find than the fact that Jesus laid down. He proved His friendship. He laid down His life for His friends. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 24, the Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Why is it wrong to prove our love or our friendship to the Lord? Why is it wrong to say, "Well, you're really going to need to prove your friendship to God"? Am I a friend to Him? You say, "Well, preacher, Job's friends, they got together and they had good intentions." May I tell you how many times friends have good intentions that end up stabbing you in the back? And I wonder how many times our testimony, how many times our proven actions really go against the things of God and the work that He has in our heart and in our life. I wonder how often God has a desire and we say we don't need that kind of friendship. Proven actions. Proven friendship. Notice if you would. Am I a friend? Am I a friend to my Savior? And am I a friend to saints? Am I a friend to the saints? Now we look here at Job in Job 16 and we find here that his three friends came to visit him. And they didn't comfort him much at all. In fact, they were the friends that we normally are. You say, "Preacher, what kind of friend is that?" Critical. They were critical of Job. I told you in Proverbs 17:17, I gave it to you earlier, "A friend loveth at all times. Brother is born for adversity, but a friend loveth at all times." I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to look over the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Matthew 7. And how many times, if we would consider this testimony or this account here in the book of Job and look at what was taking place, boy, they began one at a time to begin to try to point things out in Job's life that he had wrong. And they failed to remember that they are nothing but a sinner themselves. In Matthew 7, we find this account as well in verse number 1 through 5. Where a man is more concerned about the splinter that's in his friend's eye or his brother's eye. Matthew 7, verse number 1, it says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Now, that verse is probably one of the most taken out of context verses in the Bible. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote
that is in thy brother's eye, considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to my brother, or thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Notice this, this is not my words, thou hypocrite. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so I would ask us today, are we a friend to the saints or are we critical? How often do we look for a reason to mark them and separate from them? Instead of Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so I find that God has given us that spirit of reconciliation, that spirit of trying to restore, that spirit. So often we want to mark them and say there's fault in their life. Now listen, I'm not talking about if they've got gross sin in their life, if they've got actual things in their life, but I'm telling you, there's not a single one in this room, there's not a single one on YouTube that has a perfect walk with the Lord. And yet so many times we become critical because we don't do something that they do, or they don't do something that we do, and we begin to have that dividing point, and it destroys a friendship instead of improves it and encourages it. And so we find that they were critical friends instead of comforting friends. Job had told them there in Job chapter number 16, he told them in verse number 2, that I've heard your words. I've heard the things that you've been saying, and you're miserable comforters. In verse number 5, he said that if I was in your shoes and you were in my shoes, I would comfort you. I would take that time and I would strengthen you. Oh, I think about Barnabas, and Barnabas means the son of consolation. He was that one that would encourage. He was the encourager. Boy, he would lift up in the times of need and that times of weakness. He would encourage them and lift them up. And may I remind you that as a child of God, every one of us need each other to encourage each other. Where are you going to get it otherwise? The world? And Jesus said, it hated me, why is it not going to hate you? I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Yes, in chapter number 2, we find here those three friends, when they seen him afar off, they rent their mantle. They had fasted with him. They had mourned with him. They had wept with him. They had hurt with him. But it didn't last very long before they began to try to be critical of him instead of comforting. It would have been better for them to just keep their mouth shut and their opinion to themselves and just encourage him and pray with him and pray for him. Not one time did they pray for him. But he prayed for them in the end. He says, whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Wasn't their objective from the very beginning to comfort? Isn't that why they came? Then why would he tell them that miserable comforters are y'all? How quickly we forget that we're to be a friend to the saints. I find as well that I need to be a friend, not just to my Savior and not just to the saints, but I need to be a friend to sinners. I would ask you today, and I know that they picked Job apart and they were looking for everything, and he was told that he had hidden sin in his life and he was a hypocrite. But I wonder how many times when we find sinners out there that we're just producing condemnation. You know, one of the problems that we have in America today is prejudice. Prejudice can go anywhere. It can be down any road. It can be in any walk of life.
It can be in any state, everywhere that you are, there can be prejudice. There's prejudice in the way that you think something's going to taste. There's prejudice in the way that you think that you can do something or can't do something. There's prejudice in everything. But I've found within the churches, we have a prejudice too. I'm not talking about a prejudice over a race. I'm not talking about a prejudice or we've made this prejudgment about a walk of life, but instead that a sinner's too much of a sinner. May I remind you that there's no sin that God can't save someone from. I know you're going to say, "Preacher, what about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit?" There's a time where you say no too many times, but how many times have you grieved the Holy Spirit? And so may I tell you that we can't be prejudiced. So often we look and we say they can't, or they won't want to, or they don't want to hear. You remember the testimony that Jesus was given? In Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children.'" I wonder if we would have a testimony of being a friend to sinners. I've often told you that I want the most vile to come. I want that one that when they get saved, they know God saved them. So often I find the ones that aren't really that bad and God just kind of picks them up and cleans them a little bit and they go on their merry way, I find them right back in it. Maybe not to the same extent. And you say, "Preacher, are they saved?" That's not mine to judge. But I'm telling you that there's no sin that God doesn't save. He says there's no condition that when you come upon and when you call upon me, I will in no wise cast you out. John 6:37. And so I look and I find that we produce condemnation. You don't know where God's working. Isn't it amazing that God puts people in your path that He's working on, knowing that you need to tell them that they need the Lord? And you say, "Preacher, they wouldn't want to hear it. I'm scared to witness to them," or "I'm scared to tell them." It must be because you really don't care about them. If we really believed that hell was exactly the way the Bible said it would be, we would want to tell everyone we knew. If we really believed, as that rich man in Luke chapter 16, that cried out to Abraham, "Father Abraham," and he said that, "I've got five brethren, send Lazarus back to tell them. Let them know. I don't want them to come. And I know there's no love in hell. I wonder why people are crying out in hell more than we're crying out here. Maybe it's because we're not really a friend to sinners. We're producing condemnation, and I know they're already condemned, but we don't want to see them get saved. And so I'd ask, if you're a friend to sinners, are you pointing them to Christ? Go over to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. I wasn't going to read all of this to you, but we've got time. I'm not going to read the whole passage to you, but I want to bring some high points up. I want to remind you of a man that was this sinner. If there would ever be an account of you witnessing to someone in this condition and they get saved, may I tell you, you're never going to forget it. In Mark, chapter number 5, we find the account of the maniac of Gadara. And if you would look at his testimony before he got saved, notice this. He was dwelling in verse number 3 of Mark 5, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And night and always, night and day,
He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, this man would have been one of those that we would have had a prejudice about. I'm not going in that place to witness to him. I'm not telling you to go into the bars to witness to him. You need to get them out of the bar so that you can speak to them and they're going to be in the right mind to hear you. But listen to me. This man wasn't in his right mind yet. It's our obligation to go and tell him. And this man came. Jesus had cast out the legion of demons that was in him. They had drowned the swine. And this man has a changed life. The people were afraid. The people in that city were afraid when they came and they seen this man that they recognized in this condition that was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. You say, preacher, how does that go with pointing sinners to Christ? What kind of friends do you think this man had? I mean, if I was to guess, and let's just go ahead, we've already been talking about prejudice anyway, I would honestly go ahead and make a prejudgment and say that his friends were a lot like him. You know, Brother Richard and I were speaking the other day about Amos 3 and verse number 12, can two walk together lest they be agreed? So I would go with the friends that he's going to have, and we all know this, the account, and I know it's really scriptural when we say two birds of a feather flock together, but there is that account. And he would have had some friends that were like him, and they might have not been to that point, but they would have definitely been in the same interests. I want you to look over at verse number 19. Actually, skip on up into verse number 18. And when he was come into the ship, now they had asked him to leave, and speaking about Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And we find in verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. I wonder how many people we really point to Christ. I wonder how many people we really want to see get saved. I know you'd say, preacher, we've got this going on and this turmoil and these uncertainties and all of this taking place. Is that because we're not a friend to a sinner? I'd ask us today, are we just giving up the excuses as Job's friends? How we set off with good intentions. We set out to comfort. But there wasn't much comfort there at all. In fact, would it be recorded that, not miserable comforters, but would it be recorded that we're miserable friends? We're not much of a friend to our Savior, because we really don't have proven actions. If anything, our friendship to the world makes us enmity with God. Maybe it'd even be said that we're so critical of the brethren that we don't comfort them at all. We'd be miserable friends. Maybe it's even the fact that we're miserable friends to sinners. We know they need to be saved. And we know that we have the truth that will save them. The only way that they can be saved, by the way, is through Jesus Christ. For we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet, we don't tell them that it's not that they need to clean up the outside, but they need Jesus on the inside. Are we a friend? Isn't it sad where our country's going? Maybe it's because we haven't been a friend to the ones that need to get saved. That they would hear the truth
and the truth would set them free. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Thank You for Your truth that You give us tonight. Lord, I don't want to be like Job's friends. Lord, I would rather comfort others in their need than to be critical about them. Every single one of us is sinners saved by grace. Lord, help us tonight to be a friend to You. Closer, truer than we've ever been. Help us to be a friend to saints, Lord, to the church, to the brethren. Lord, that we would lift them up, that we would encourage them, that we would suffer with them, that we would rejoice with them instead of being jealous over them. But then, Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight to have the reality of our need to be a friend to sinners. Lord, the very testimony that this world gave You, they called You a friend to the publicans and sinners. Lord, I don't know if they would say that of us today, or that we've just got this idea that You can only save a select few, but yet we say we don't believe in predestination. Lord, I pray, help us tonight to point more to You and to leave our prejudice behind. Father, I just pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Once again, please promote as much as you can. Promote the YouTube. Lord willing, this next month we'll have an actual camera. We'll start running things by computer and getting everything going. But with that, we still need the opportunity to go mobile anytime through a phone. And so I really, really, really encourage you to help us promote it. We need 1,000 subscribers to just push a button. Otherwise, I've got to go through third party. It's working. I had to tether. I ran out of data this morning, so I haven't went back and looked at the morning's message. I don't know if you had problems this morning or not, but I do know I ran out of data on my phone, so I'm tethered so that I can still some other data from other places. But do help us promote this to where we can keep going and keep reaching this lost world and encouraging the saints along the way. Stay safe. I'm praying for you. Please pray for us. And we look forward to being with you. 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, and we will be in-house and on YouTube. So feel free to join us, and look forward to seeing everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.